qualities even when they are enlarged. There are others, however, which, after many increments, are altered by the last addition. There is stamped upon them a new character, different from that of yore. One stone makes an archway. The stone, which wedges the leaning sides and holds the arch together by its position in the middle. And why does the last addition, although very slight, make a great deal of difference? Because it does not increase, it fills up. Some things, through development, put off their former shape and are altered into a new figure. When the mind has for a long time developed some idea, and in the attempt to grasp its magnitude has become weary, that thing begins to be called infinite. And then this has become something far different from what it was when it seemed great but finite. In the same way, we have thought of something as difficult to divide. At the very end, as the task grows more and more hard, the thing is found to be indivisible. Similarly, from that which could scarcely or with difficulty be moved, we have advanced on and on until we reach the immovable. By the same reasoning, a certain thing was according to nature. Its greatness has altered it into some other peculiar quality, and has rendered it a good. Farewell. Letter 119. On Nature as Our Best Provider. Whenever I have made a discovery, I do not wait for you to cry, "Shares." I say it to myself on your behalf. If you wish to know what it is that I have found, open your pocket. It is clear profit. What I shall teach you is the ability to become rich as speedily as possible. How keen you are to hear the news. And rightly, I shall lead you by a shortcut to the greatest riches. It will be necessary, however, for you to find a loan. In order to be able to do business, you must contract a debt, although I do not wish you to arrange the loan through a middleman, nor do I wish the brokers to be discussing your rating. I shall furnish you with a ready creditor, Cato's famous one, who says, "Borrow from yourself." No matter how small it is, it will be enough if we can only make up the deficit from our own resources. For, my dear Lucilius, it does not matter whether you crave nothing or whether you possess something. The important principle in either case is the same: freedom from worry. But I do not counsel you to deny anything to nature, for nature is insistent and cannot be overcome. She demands her due. But you should know that anything in excess of nature's wants is a mere extra and not necessary. If I am hungry, I must eat. Nature does not care whether the bread is the coarse kind or the finest wheat. She does not desire the stomach to be entertained, but to be filled. And if I am thirsty, nature does not care whether I drink water from the nearest reservoir or whether I freeze it artificially by sinking it in large quantities of snow. Nature orders only that the thirst be quenched, and it does not matter whether it be a golden or crystal or marine goblet, or a cup from Tiber, or the hollow hand. Look to the end in all matters, and then you will cast away superfluous things. Hunger calls me. Let me stretch forth my hand to that which is nearest. My very hunger has made attractive in my eyes whatever I can grasp. A starving man despises nothing. Do you ask, then, what it is that has pleased me? It is this noble saying which I have discovered. The wise man is the keenest seeker for the riches of nature. What, you ask, will you present me with an empty plate? What do you mean? I had already arranged my coffers. I was already looking about to see some stretch of water on which I might embark for purposes of trade, some state revenues that I might handle, and some merchandise that I might acquire. That is deceit, showing me poverty after promising me riches. But, friend, do you regard a man as poor, to whom nothing is wanting? It is, however, you reply, thanks to himself and his endurance, and not thanks to his fortune. Do you then hold that such a man is not rich just because his wealth can never fail? Would you rather have much or enough? He who has much desires more, a proof that he has not yet acquired enough. But he who has enough has attained that which never fell to the rich man's lot, a stopping point. Do you think that this condition to which I refer is not riches, just because